Okay, we're going to go ahead and read through this, and then we'll pull out those scriptures that are in here. Jean asked me to go to lesson 3, which is what do you communicate with your husband, and then she's going to, I don't think we're going to finish this because it's quite lengthy, but then we'll go back to the other lessons. Okay, we'll go ahead and read through. Does everybody have a book? Jean ordered extra books. You want a book? I know that Jean has a lot of people, and we have a few extra people coming. Does everybody have a book now? Share a few? Okay. All right. On page 23 is where the lesson begins. In a recent issue of the Denver Post, Business and Professional Women's Club magazine was quoted as criticizing the featuring of women only in traditional roles, perpetuating the stereotyped image of women, as man's helper. In the same newspaper, a famous sociologist complained that too many women regard marriage as a career where it is only as a only a relationship. I was very insulted when I heard that. Okay. Does anybody have any thoughts on that one right there? If you regard marriage as a career?
They could have only left that only anybody, you know?
It's only a relationship. It is a relationship, but it's a lifelong relationship. So it is very important. But I don't know that I would, I don't know that I would put it on the same level as a career.
When I read stuff like that, it doesn't bother me because I think I know what I do.
Right.
I'm safe with that, and you're the ignorant one.
Yeah. So, sure, we have the knowledge that we have. Yes.
Go ahead. And a career you can walk away from. A marriage you don't.
Which, it's unfortunately, many people don't have that attitude, but yes, that is true. Okay. Anything else? I thought that was interesting, though, because that is a lot of people. I've seen it with, even in family or whatever, with like mothers to daughters or whatever, where, you know, if it doesn't work out, they can always come home. And that's not something you should be telling somebody. If you're going to get married, you get married. I still remember the day before my wedding, standing at the back of the church with my father at the rehearsal, just shaking. And I remember and then the day of the wedding, my dad looked at me and goes, "You don't have to do this." I go, "No, I want to do this. I want to do this." He's like, "Why are you shaking?" I go, "Because this is marriage. This is a big thing." And he kept, "Are you sure?" And I was like, "Yes," but I was shaking so bad because it's a lifelong commitment.
I know a little story that would really be hard to do, but it just really happened. A preacher's daughter married a young man, and it's a young man that told us the story. And they were having problems. And he called up the father and said, "I'm sending so-and-so home. She'll be such and such a place. He can pick her up." He says, "No, you're not sending her home. She's yours. You're hers. And you made this commitment. Now you deal with it. But she can't come home."
Very good.
That must have been awfully hard for a father to say.
I would think very, very difficult.
But he was telling us to teach the lesson that you're married and you stay married. Can't send them.
Well, a lot of people do that. We're just going to separate for a while. It doesn't just work like that. You have to work through your problems or whatever. And also, we go over this a little bit later. It's like, what does that communicate if you have children and stuff? What does that communicate to your children? Oh, let's just take a hiatus, you know. Let's just take a vacation here from the married life. It doesn't work like that. So, okay. Well, that statement. Oh, go ahead.
Well, this is similar to what Tibby said, but it made an impression on me because my brother was 7.5 years older than I am. And I remember as a teenager when he got married, he lived, he and his wife lived right behind my folks. And I guess they had a spat. I don't remember that. But anyway, here came Wendell over to the house, came in the kitchen, and I remember my mom talking to him. He was just complaining. And she just said, "You're married. You go back and settle it with your wife. I don't want to hear it." That made an impression on me because I still remember it.
That is a very good thing or whatever. Well, and I think you just want to go home because that's your comfort zone,
right.
Mom and dad or whatever. So, and if you choose to do that, you choose to be that adult, you need to act like that adult and take charge of it. So. Ann Stevens taught a class on motherhood and wives. It was very good, but she taught about, she said, with each of her boys when they left, she literally clipped an apron string and sent it to them and said, "Okay, you're on, you know, the apron wings have been clipped, you're on your own here," or whatever. So, okay, in regard to that statement, where many women regard marriage as a career, such statements are symptomatic of the mushrooming tendency of our times to play down or even disregard as out of date the biblical concept of the relationship between a husband and a wife. Okay, when God created Eve, though he formed her specifically to fill the need of Adam. Let's go ahead and go to that. So, this was interesting to me, this one. Amy, you want to read that?
Sure.
Genesis 2:18.
The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him."
Okay. I think that we fight so much where, especially in today's society, it's confusing. Like I look at, like Erica's younger here, I'm trying to think of Sarah's younger here. It's very confusing in today's society with women are taught to be very independent, very, and there's nothing wrong with going to school, bettering yourself, and doing all that. But God designed marriage to work in this way or whatever. Men have misconceptions. I mean, today it's like the young men, a lot of men are losing their, you know, the simple courtesies of opening the door or a lot of the manners you see slipping away or whatever. And the women, it's a very confusing society, I think, for kids. It's very important for us as parents to keep them in that way, to teach them what is right. I know when you come here, the building or whatever, it's a nice thing to see people acting like they're supposed to act or whatever. And then you walk out in the world, it's not always there, but it's a refreshing thing to see that here or whatever. And I think the kids need that. Because marriage is a huge commitment. I count my blessings every day that neither Jim and I were Christians before we got married. I count my blessings that I am where I am. I mean, I'm very fortunate in that is a huge blessing to me or whatever. But I do think it's very important. We were made as a helpmate. It's not good for men to be alone. I mean, you look at Paul. Paul was alone. Not all men are had the strength of Paul, I would say, is the diligence of Paul or whatever. But a woman to a man is a good thing or whatever. So, but we were made to help them. So, and if you read in farther in this, it's kind of a little bit of a tough pill to swallow as we go into this. Okay. So when a Christian woman marries, she is, in a very real sense, embarking on a career, that of completing, not competing with her husband. She is not inferior to him. Okay, in Galatians, I'll go ahead and do that. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. So we're all working for the same goal. She is not inferior to him, but she is different. Just as apples and oranges are definitely different, even though neither is superior to the other. I think that's a huge thing if you can understand that. I've seen just in younger women, when I was first married or whatever, it was like, what do I contribute to this marriage? Here, Jim, he's going to work every day. I'm in here. And there was a part of me, I thought, well, what am I doing? He's out there working or whatever. I soon came to realize if he wasn't doing what he was doing, I couldn't be doing what I was doing. If I wasn't at home taking care of those kids, he couldn't be going doing what he did. So it's a team effort. So when you communicate to one another, you have to respect each other in that position. But we're very different. Women and men are different.
I hope it's not said today, but when I first married, the common thing was, I'm just a housewife, or she's just a housewife. Well, I always resented that, you know, because I had been working, and it was a lot easier to work than it was to be a housewife and maintain all of the things that go on, maintaining a home.
I think those are fighting words now. I don't hear them much.
You know, I actually, probably about 2 months ago, I was talking to Brother Craig, and I know. I said, I don't know, I'm just a housewife. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he looked at me and goes, Laura, there is no such thing as just a housewife. And it was the most comforting thing. Because it was just like, it was one of those aha moments. And there isn't, but, you know, sometimes I was like, oh, I'm just a housewife or whatever. And when he said that to me, though, it was a really sweet gesture when he said that. I really appreciated his thought on that. So it is true, though. It is very difficult. It frustrates you when people say, what do you do all day long? I thought, oh, there were only, you know, 24 more hours in a day or whatever. But I can never accomplish all that I want to accomplish in a day or whatever. But being a, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing as a wife and a mother, It's a hard job. It's a very hard job.
Well, and in a lot of ways, it's boring because you get up and you get the kids off to school and you get lunch, you do cleaning, you do this, you do that. And in the morning, it's the same thing over. But at the same time, every day is a little bit different, so it's a challenge. But I didn't have that privilege. I always had to work, or at least after I'd been married about 3 years, I had to work. So then I worked all day, and I came home and had a whole day's work to do when I got home. And I've always resented those people who said, oh, she doesn't work.
Yes.
If it was somebody who had the privilege of staying home and raising their family. And I always thought I worked harder as a housewife than I did anything else.
You do. I do. I think if you're doing it right, you do work. When people say, do you work? I go, well, in-house or out-of-house? Clarify this. That's very true. Okay. I'm going to have y'all read a little bit. Is that okay? Do you want to read a little? Are you okay with reading?
Pardon me?
Do you want to read some?
I can't read.
Okay. You want to read the next paragraph there?
God purposely made man and woman different because he meant them to have different responsibilities. In light of the prominent feminist philosophies of today, it is crucial for the Christian woman to remember that to be given the supportive role in life is not a curse but a favor. Jesus continually tried to explain that it is more blessed to give than to receive, Acts 20:35, and that he who loses his life shall find it, Matthew 10:39. He chided his apostles, reminding them that he who would be the greatest of all must be the servant of all, Matthew 23:11. Service, not self-centeredness, is the secret of happiness for men or women. God has just given women more opportunity to achieve this goal. Love is to man a thing apart, 'tis woman's whole existence, Lord Byron. Because woman's purpose in life is so entwined with her husband, it is difficult, if not impossible, to separate her personal happiness from the happiness of her marriage. That is why it is vital that wives communicate wisely with their husbands. Otherwise, neither of them will be happy.
Okay. This was really big to me because when I read that love is to man a thing apart, 'tis woman's whole existence, I can't speak for everybody. I just know me. This is dealing with husbands, so Jim's wife, it's a huge thing for me. And a lot of it was, the way I was raised was my father was the head of the household. When we sat down to dinner, Dad was served first. He sat down in the same place. And it was an order of respect. There were certain things when Dad came home from work, certain things were due. There was a structure in there, whatever. But I still do that with Jim. Jim was always the first one fed at the table or whatever. But there's things that are done. I enjoy that. I really like that. I take a lot of pride in that or whatever. But that just rang with me because it is, it's funny when it says it's your whole existence. But I am so grateful that 28 years later, I still get excited when my husband comes home. That's a good thing. I don't hear that a lot with a lot of people or whatever. That is a wonderful blessing to have that or whatever. There are times, not so much, but yes, most of the times, I don't do. But it is a very important thing for me to have that approval from him, to have that respect from him. And it's a communication. I communicate to him that I value him in that way or whatever. Just like in this thing or whatever, he goes to work every day. I need to appreciate that he's going to do that. I work, I clean the house, I do those things. He also needs to appreciate that I do those things or whatever. Several years ago, I had surgery on my knee. I was laid up for a while. He was, for those of you who don't know, Jim was in the Marines and he was gone. At that time, he was in Iraq or whatever. But he was gone for a long time or whatever. You know, he does his things around the house. I do my things around the house. the boys would help with lawn care and all that stuff, but Jim did the major part of it. I did not realize until I wasn't picking up the slack on that or whatever, because I couldn't. I was laid up on my bed. I did not go outside maybe but twice during that entire summer because I was on my back. I wasn't allowed to walk. when I did, I find when Jim was coming home, I paid somebody to come and manicure the yard because the boys did a good job, but they didn't do it near as what Jim does or whatever, and I wanted it to look like that when he came home. But it was interesting because I didn't truly appreciate all that he did until I didn't see him doing it. It was just always done, just like when he comes home, dinner's there or whatever, it's done. And we tend to take things for granted in that way when we do need to get, marriage should be a comfortable thing, you know, you should feel safe in that, but we also can't take it for granted. That person is our partner. You know, that's what I'm saying. I've been married 28 years, and I sit back and I think, man, 28 years. But then I look at Disney and PA, Karen and Jerry, I mean, you look at like how Joe and Don were, and you look at this and you think, man, that's a long time. I can't picture being that far along yet, and here I am at 28 years. To those who aren't married, that's a long time or whatever. My kid, you know, you look at your kids, they seem really old, they're not that old yet. And but you look at all that, and I'm comfortable in that marriage.
But you know, it's the little
thing. But I can't forget, right.
And I never paid much attention to this, but Jean said one time after she spun up that I don't remember Daddy ever getting up from the table and didn't say, honey, that was good, or I enjoyed that, or something about the meal. And they weren't all that great. He appreciated
that's
it
nice.
Nonetheless.
But that is
but I never gave that much thought, but kind of noticed it, and that was just his way and just what he did.
But see, in the communication, like how Yvonne was saying, she remembered her mom telling Wendell that. Like, so she remembers, you know, PA showing that example or whatever. People are always watching. They're always seeing things or whatever. And even in our actions communicate things. Like what Jean said last week, if you have a scowl on your face, you communicate something's wrong. You may be fine just, you know, thinking about something, but it's what you communicate to other people.
And I know with my kids, they remember small things. They don't, you know, they don't talk about grand vacations or the big things. They remember little things that we do throughout the day and at the dinner table, things that happened and stuff like that.
It's interesting. Mark was talking to me yesterday. We were talking about something, and I was doing something with the kids or whatever, and we were going over some Bible class material. And I said, do you remember when you were real little doing your Bible lessons? And he said, not really little or whatever. And we were talking, I said, do you remember, like, during church services when you did stuff? And he goes, kind of or whatever. And then he goes, well, I remember having to write scripture. And he kind of had this scowl on his face, and I was like, you know, you work so hard to do these things. And I didn't want him to have it as a bad memory. I wanted it to be good. But it was interesting because I look at it and I'm thinking, did they remember anything good that I tried to do? What do I communicate? This has really been weighing on me. I've been thinking about this, like, what do you communicate to other people? It's like, I don't know that I did so good in that part. But okay, and kids do remember the littlest things in that way. So okay, but I thought this was interesting as far as a wife having that... it is an existence to take care of her husband, to take care of him. Women are natural nurturers, so they want to take care of and different things were there. Okay, Tippi, do you want to read a little bit? Do you want to read the next paragraph?
I'm going to pass.
You're going to pass? Amy, would you like to read the next paragraph there?
A major problem in the area of marital communication is that women tend to be more verbal than men. Consequently, a wife often feels that her marriage enjoys good communication only if her husband talks to her. But think again of the principle of nonverbal communication. A husband who goes to work every day, whether he feels like it or not, and brings home a regular paycheck, considers this to be a strong communication of his love and concern for his wife. At the same time, his wife may work hard cleaning house all day to communicate her love and concern for her husband. Yet that night, they may both end up feeling neglected and resentful because their mate is too tired to show any affection. The husband and wife are each transmitting the very same message that they do love and care for their partner, but because they have failed to recognize the validity of nonverbal communication, serious unhappiness results.
Okay. I think that one's interesting because it just really is, and I think it's funny, your Amy is pregnant. When you get kids when the kids are first born, it's like, you're just exhausted. You know, it's kind of tiring, which she already has four children, so she knows it comes with that. But it's hard juggling all that or whatever. And you try to keep, you know, all the balls in the air or whatever. And the husband's going to work every day. He's doing his thing or whatever. And the wife. But it's very important, I think, to set aside time for one another. I think that's important. I don't care if it's, well, or it's like you could have your Bible study together, which is a very important thing. That's a wonderful growing thing together. But having time where you set aside to have that, because we get so caught up in our lives that we forget to do that. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to go to a job every day and do that or whatever. I've always been I like working for myself. I do. I like having that structure or whatever. I'm a perfectionist in some way, so I want it done this way or whatever. And I've had to work with Jim's job that he had. He was not allowed to have a second job. So depending on where we lived, if we had to supplement according to the pay, I had to work. And we always usually worked like opposite shifts or whatever. I don't know how, I do not know how women work full schedules and then try to come home and clean. It's just, I don't know how they do it. I think it's a very difficult thing. Even part-time is hard. It's just a hard thing. It's a full-time job taking care of a house and children. It is. And it is a wonderful job. We can't look at it as it's not a burden. It is a blessing from God giving these children. And this, I'm grateful that we have a house. I mean, you know, this is the first house we've owned where we are now or whatever. We've always lived in apartments or whatever. So it's a blessing, but you have to look at it like that too. But if a woman is cleaned all day long and done her thing, she's just as tired as the man is. But you need to make that point. You need to communicate to each other. Because if you're thinking in your mind, I've done this all day long, why doesn't he say so, and da 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 da. I think that's a wonderful thing that PA actually said. This was good, da da da. I don't get that.
I just don't think it was true.
You know, I cook or whatever. Jim's big thing is when he's sitting there, if I go fill up his glass with tea, he's always like, you're the best wife ever. He always says, I'm the only wife you've ever had. I always tease him. And I always tell him, I said, you're my favorite husband. Out of all my husbands, you're my favorite or whatever. And we kind of, you know, goof with each other like that. But it's a big thing for him, for me to go fill up his. It is. If he's sitting and relaxing when he came home, he's just thrilled as a little kid in the candy store when I go fill his glass, because he does not have to get up and go get it. So that's, it sounds funny, but it's a little thing that I do to him, so he doesn't have to get up. I can tell a lot of times when he's, like if we're sitting down at night or if he's wanting to watch something on TV, he's like, sit down. So I'll come sit down, and it's funny because I'll work in the morning and then I'll sit down and rest and then I'll get my second wind, and it's real hard for me to pull back on that because I want to do stuff, so I have to kind of pull back or whatever. And I keep, so I'm like, oh, I want to get this done. I've got all these things going on. So I have to kind of pull back and sit down, and that's something I can do for him. But he, I know that he appreciates those little things that are having dinner done or whatever like that or whatever. So, any input on this one?
Set that tea pitcher on the table, and then you won't have to.
Well, he's sitting in the couch or whatever. No, I have to get in my little kudos where I can, so I'm trying to.
When my children were young, I was a little bit stupid and blind, you know. Worked hard all day, thought I should get some pats on the back and some appreciation, and, you know, didn't understand why he didn't understand why I was so tired, and, you know, gripe, which accomplished nothing. Just got him more aggravated with me and withdrew from me even more. So it accomplished the opposite, and of course I did get wiser later, but I'm speaking of my stupidity. And during that time, I had a, you know, aha moment one day and realized, well, I'm expecting him to thank me and appreciate me for the stuff I'm supposed to do anyway. I never thank him for getting up and going to work every day.
Right.
You know, and he does it every day, whether he's sick or not, whether he's tired, whether he had enough sleep or not. You know, he does it without complaining every day. And so I made a concerted effort to thank him regularly for that we didn't ever want, because he was consistent about that. And it was amazing how doing that got me what I wanted.
It isn't. You know, Stan has told this story for the last time. It's a marriage counseling thing or whatever, but the husband and wife come together. I always remember this, but the husband and wife come together and they're ready for divorce, you know. And you go, you be the very best wife that you can be. You do what you're supposed to do, and when they come back together or whatever, so are you ready for divorce? Oh no, it's wonderful. I don't know what happened. You know, now everything is great or whatever. If you concentrate on yourself or whatever in that way or whatever, if you do the best that you can do and notice things like that. I think that's very important. In this book, a little bit later, it talks about even if it's the smallest thing, if you open that door, you don't slam it or whatever, compliment them on that or whatever. I think that is very important. I can't speak for all husbands or whatever. I know when Jimmy was born, my firstborn or whatever, there was a little bit of a jealousy thing, which I remember the nurses in the hospital. I went to this class or whatever, and the nurses were talking about, yeah, this can happen. The husbands can be a little jealous. There used to be a number one. And I caught it right away when it happened or whatever, so things, and I thought, it's a baby. Why would you be jealous? Because all of a sudden, this is the center of, you know, I have this little child or whatever, and it's taken a lot of attention away from him. So I had to incorporate this all together. But it's interesting because they do go to work. I mean, you know, Jim goes to work. I don't draw that paycheck. Other than Jim laughingly says, he goes, you know, you get to pay the bills. You get to take that money and pay those bills. That's your reward. I'm like, oh, joy. He kind of jokes about that or whatever. But he's going to work. He earns this, you know, he has this career that he saved. But it's a beautiful thing to see a marriage cultivate and come to where, you know, and when you see all this, what you communicate to one another, there are many times, and I've told my children, there are many times over the course of my marriage when I would just be like, oh, just, you just want to walk away. You're so angry at that other person. Because I'm perfect. We are. And you just want to walk away from it. I would not have what I have today if I would do that. The grass is always greener on the other side. You know, you see people. Jim has an aunt plus her. She's been married 5 times. And I remember when she said, the next time I do this. And I thought, next time. And she just got divorced. It just wasn't. She couldn't figure it out. I thought, maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. You know, you're not getting it right. I'm very fortunate. And then, or whatever, that I've been married to this man, that I have this. He communicates to me that what I do is important, or whatever, and I hopefully communicate to him that what he does is important. But I've never had to go to the job like he does. And there's a part of me that is in a, I think today's society is what does this to me, or whatever. But there's a part of me that has a panic because I sit and I think, if something happened to Jim, if I had to do this, whatever, it's a panic mode because he's always taking care of me in that or whatever. So then to be self-sufficient in that or whatever, you know, we have life insurance and all that stuff. But there is a thing, I rely on Jim for that security and that comfort. But in the same way, he also relies on me. If you've ever, I think as women, as wives and mothers, we tend to, and society does this, tends to bring you down. Like we'll say, you know, you're just a housewife or whatever. Because you're not going out and doing a career or whatever. If they had to pay me for all that I've done over the years, the nurse, the educator, all these things or whatever, I'd make a healthy six-figure salary. You know, you can't. I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. But I've put my effort into this or whatever. And that is something to be appreciated. And I see that with a lot of young women. And it's there's one particular that I'm thinking of or whatever that battled with them. Started in college, didn't finish or whatever, and another Christian woman had said to her, why don't you go, why are you doing this? Why do you want to stay home and do all this or whatever? I said, don't let them tell you that. This is what you want to do. You're in the right frame of mind. And she came to me, it was in this last year, and it was about 10 years ago that I had said, and she said, thank you so much for telling me that. I remember that or whatever. But I at first, I remember not having that validation or whatever, because that's, I think it's really important to surround yourself, and the older women do need to teach the younger women. It is a communication thing. But you have to value yourself in that, because you also portray that. When we communicate to others, you're communicating that you're less than or whatever, and you're not. And you should, I want to say prideful or whatever, but you should have a place of honor in your household. You are the wife and mother. You take care of those children. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, that's a very high-quality job. So you do need to have a respect in that. And likewise, you know, your husband needs to respect you in that or whatever. It's communication. Okay. From the wise women of our congregation, any comments?
Just pick out a good one when you're trying to get married.
This just made me think it's about communication. It's one thing I learned from my mother, who stayed at home and never worked. But anytime she brought us anything, she was adamant to say, your dad bought this for you. You know, he goes to work. And he, you know, allows me to go shopping for you or whatever. And I taught my kids that. And I remember one time when the kids said, no, Mom, you bought it. That's not around. But, you know, I made sure they knew your dad works hard for this money. And I'm actually buying it, but he goes to work so you can have it. So, you know, take care of it, respect him.
I think they do get short. I do that a lot, too, because I know it's like when we go to parties or Jim will look at me, what do we get him? Because it's from him. But he has no clue because he didn't buy it or whatever. I make a point to do that, and I think that's very important to do because it's showing the because that person has to be a part of perfect. Jim was gone a lot during his career in the Marines or whatever. And he didn't want to do it at first because he's like, I'm going to be gone a lot. He really wanted it. But he was afraid to do it because it would pull him away. So we sat and talked, and I knew that he really wanted to do this. So I said, go do this or whatever. We made an agreement that the kids would need that constant in their life, whatever. I would be at home with them. There wasn't an issue with that or whatever. But I always made a point of Daddy's doing this, and we incorporated his career into their lives. We made it a point where he was. We followed on the map. We made it a game kind of a thing or whatever. But if he was going doing what he did, so we could do it ours. And I made it. I always tried to really put him on a place of honor that he was working hard so that we could do those things or whatever. It sounds funny, but it's like financial stuff has always been important to me. I taught my kids when they were little about finances and different things or whatever. But I would really, Dad works hard for this money. You know, we can't just blow it or whatever, and we do stuff like that or whatever. But incorporate him. Even though he wasn't there, per se, physically all the time, he was there. He allowed us to do what we did. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to live there. They would have had to be in daycare or somebody else, which I didn't want. So it is a communication thing or whatever with that or whatever. I think that's a very important lesson to teach your children because even though Dad's working all day long, I'm very fortunate to be able to, I've always been fortunate to stay home with my kids. I would not have been able to do that. And not all husbands, even though the women don't have to work, they'll be like, you know, you're lazy, get out and get a job or whatever.
I was you mentioning what children remember. I don't even remember how it started. I do know my youngest son had allergy problems, and we ripped up all the carpet in the house, and here's all these hardwood floors to keep waxed and clean. And my husband says, you can't do that. Hand me the mop. And he did all the floors. And then when my daughters married, they informed their husbands, wives don't do floor.
They got that message.
That's funny. Jesus brought back a good memory. We had good floors. Mom would hand us the can of flax oil wax. And we all had to do our own rules. That's funny. That is funny, though. They see things that we don't always want them to see. So, okay. Amy, can you go ahead and read the second paragraph for me, and then we'll just finish up that.
Have you ever envied a couple in which the husband was extremely attentive and loving in public and then been shocked to hear that they were getting a divorce? Words in themselves generally don't mean as much to men as they do to women. Because of this, the husband who spends his Saturdays fixing up around the house can be showing a lot more love for his wife than the one to whom the precise words, I love you, come easily and often. Sometimes we find this difficult to adjust to, though, and we try to change our husbands to fit the Prince Charming image we had as a child.
For the young ones in here, don't go, oh, I'm going to change it. It doesn't work. You grow it together. But you have to, when they're that smooth of a talker, I'm always, the red light should click on or whatever. They should, yeah, you know. Someone who's willing to work hard for you and do things for you.
Why would you want to be with someone you've got to change so much?
Oh, a lot of things. You know, you hear that all the time. Well, I could change him. I thought he would change. I think it's funny, though, that we always want to change them. Because, you know, I guess we think we're perfect. I'm far from it. So, but it is interesting or whatever. I think that was interesting, though. The husband who spends his Saturdays fixing up around the house can be showing a lot more love for his wife than one who just, you know, I love you, you're great, or whatever. And a lot of I think a lot of times on the surface it'll look really, really pretty, and like it says, you're shocked, like, oh, I can't believe they're getting a divorce. And you know, this is interesting. 2 years ago, I lost my father's brother, Michael Skip, passed away, and he divorced my Aunt Laura Lynn when we were younger or whatever. And in our family, I mean, all of a sudden it was just, they were getting divorced. Nothing was said. No, you know, it was hush, hush, hush. And I got married. My Uncle Skip had remarried to a lady named Kathy. They were still married all these years later when he passed away. I could never call her Aunt Kathy. It just didn't seem right with her head. But it was never talked about. I came to find out later that was his secretary or whatever, and all this stuff happened. But it was like they had the picture-perfect marriage. When I looked back at their marriage, it was just, she worked so hard to make everything picture-perfect or whatever. But that made me think of it. And it wasn't underneath. There was, you know, stuff was wrong or whatever. But it just, it made me think of that or whatever, because I'm out, as a kid, I was like, you know, and as a kid, you don't always see everything that's there or whatever. But it is interesting because you can't judge things by just what the cover looks like. It's what's inside or whatever. And there's, sometimes it can be the littlest thing that somebody can do. As if when my mom was sick in the hospital 1 year, it was a real quick thing. She had fallen and broken her hip, and it was right before Thanksgiving. And I left on a Tuesday, Thanksgiving being Thursday, and I looked at Jim and I said, okay, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to keep the, you know, turkey, keep it in the freezer? What do you want to do? Do you want to do this when we get back? And he looked at me and goes, just leave it in there. You know, we'll do Thanksgiving when we get back or whatever. This is the best thing he ever did for me. I was so worried all this stuff was happening with my mom or whatever. He did a whole entire, Jim doesn't cook. He did a whole entire Thanksgiving dinner for my kids. And our Thanksgiving is a big family thing. I mean, I do a lot with the kids, and the kids are allowed, like, they get to pick, like special hors d'oeuvres that I do or whatever. It's a big thing. He did all that with the kids, which for me, I went through this horrible withdrawal thing. Okay, you know, I'm going here, but I'm leaving them this, and what kind of memory is this going to be? He did all that. It was a huge thing that my husband did for me. It just really took me up. It was a wonderful thing. It didn't cost him anything. You know, he wouldn't have. They made a pie, which was, to this day, we still laugh because he cooked a 20-pound bag of potatoes. He didn't know any different. I was making potato soup for a while. But it was fun. But it was such a gesture of love that he did. And the kids were thrilled. And even the day after Thanksgiving, he took Cheryl to Black Friday. He got up and did this with our kids, which was huge to me. But I mean, he didn't have to do that. He didn't say anything to me that he was going to do it. But when I called, it was such a relief for me. But to this day, when I think about that, it just fills me with joy that it was such a gesture of love to me. And it was a simple thing. It didn't cost him anything in that way. But it was a wonderful thing that he did. He doesn't do stuff like that every day. So in our mirror, I mean, that was a huge bright spot, though, in our mirror. And it's just always made me feel very loved when I think, because I know when it comes down to it, I know that he's there for me. And that's a big communication that he gives to me. So, did y'all learn anything today?
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, you're welcome.